hear some Christian music. I went into that place, man, groping in the darkness. God was getting, and halfway there, man, God started convicting me. He was just like, you know, John, we got business, you and me, and your end isn't too good, and you need something really desperately. And I had no clue. I'd been so blind, and God began to open my eyes. And the first thing, when you've been in darkness for so long, the first thing when you happens when you open your eyes is that light hits your eyes, and it does what? It hurts. Oh, it's horrible to be blind. It's horrible to walk and grope and stumble in darkness. But when the light first comes and it hits your eyes, it's not the most pleasant experience. It actually stings. I don't know if you've been asleep sometimes and somebody wakes you up out of a dead sleep and it's a bright room and you try to look at them and, you know, your one eye is closed and one eye is open and then it's squinted and because it hurts. And God began to shine his light on my soul and it hurt. To know that I could be so selfish, so cold and uncaring, so completely and utterly self-absorbed and self-centered, worshiping my own desires and gratifications, and walk an entire lifetime apart from the one whose beauty just brings me to my knees. And he began to shine his light on my soul. And he began, as I stood in that, and I finally made it to that crusade, and we stood under the awesome, amazing preaching of the word. The Holy Spirit was there so thick you could reach out and touch him. And God began to take those glasses off. And yeah, I mean, it was kind of hard at the beginning. It hurt a little bit, but as things began to come into focus. And he talked about Jesus. And he preached about Jesus. And, oh, what in the world is behind me? Okay. You never know in this place. It was a real simple sermon. It was an hour and a half long, and it was all about Jesus. And he just preached and preached and preached Jesus. And I fell deeper and deeper and deeper in love. And my heart was absolutely captivated by this one that I thought I knew. And suddenly, truly, understood and knew. Helen Keller described what it was like the first time the light went on in her head when she realized that words were not simply a game. This, when her teacher would come and make her fingers do shapes at different times. And she had fun doing that and she enjoyed it. It was some kind of fellowship. But one day when the light went on and she said, oh, that's a word that has meaning. And meaning sprung to life in her brain. And suddenly two loose ends were joined together in that spark of understanding. This is how she describes it. For those of you who've seen the movie, you know what a powerful moment that is in the movie. She said, talking about herself and her teacher, we walked down the path to the well house, attracted by the fragrance of the honeysuckle with which it was covered. Someone was drawing water, and my teacher placed my hand under the spout. As the cool stream gushed over one hand, she spelled into the other the word water. First slowly, then rapidly. I stood still, my whole attention fixed upon the motion of her fingers, and suddenly I felt a misty consciousness as of something forgotten, a thrill of returning thought, and somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. And I knew then that the word W-A-T-E-R meant the wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my hand. That living water awakened my soul and gave it light and hope and joy and set it free. There were barriers still, it's true, but the barriers could in time be swept away. Something came alive in her mind as she realized, and understanding dawned upon her. And I thrill to read that because it reminds me so much of what it's like to finally come to Christ after groping in the darkness for years, and that understanding breaks upon your soul. And I remember the preacher saying these very words of Jesus, "I am." And suddenly something clicked in the depths of my soul that went, "Oh my God, my Lord and my God." Something clicked that I'd finally found what I was searching for. The darkness began to part. The clouds began to separate and light began to break through. And so I love her description because it's so much like what it's like to get saved and come to know Christ. When we first hear the gospel and realize that we were made for Christ, do you know you were made for Christ? That in Him is your purpose and destiny in life? That your name was given to you so that it might be associated with His name, and that your name could be known for all that God has called you to do for the sake of the name of Christ. Say your name to yourself for a second. John D'Souza. God knew your name from before the foundation of the world, and He destined you personally, individually. Every single person that is sitting in this room right now was called by God to know Christ and serve Him and to leave a legacy of glory for His name. Isn't that exciting? That God knows you and has destined you to be a vessel for Christ. What in the world are we wasting our time on, hours and hours and hours every day chasing the wind, when we have a life to be invested for Christ? What are we spending our life on every day? Every moment that passes slips through our fingers and we don't know how long we have. What are we spending it on trinkets and rubbish and garbage for, when gold and silver and eternal treasures are at our fingertips? If we would just follow Him. So how do we do that? How do we walk with Christ in the light? Jesus said, "He who follows me." That's not passive belief. That's not just like, "Oh yeah, I think it's true. Yeah, I read a book on apologetics and it's probably true." Jesus said, "He who," and that's why I love what you said this morning, Peter, well put. "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If we truly have faith in Him, we will want to follow Him. How do we do that? Well, actually, we could spend the next 2 or 3 weeks talking about how we're going to do that. In fact, we will spend the next 2 or 3 weeks talking about that. What does it mean to walk in the light? But let me start with Romans 13, 12. This is what Paul said. How do you do that? Verse 12, he said, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness." Throw them away. Put them behind you. Get rid of them. Open the drawer. Pull them out and chuck them in the trash. Stop flirting and playing with them. Stop looking longingly. You know, what is that show with Stacy and what's his name? What Not to Wear or something like that. And they have somebody drag their entire wardrobe to New York, and they put it up on there for the cameras to see. And then they say, "What are you doing wearing this stuff?" And they pull off some, you know, 1970s, you know, weird, out-of-date, twice out-of-date, ridiculous-looking thing. And they're saying, what are you wearing this for? And they get ready to throw it in the trash, and the person's like, "No, no, no, I love that. My best friend in high school gave that to me. It was his brother's for 20 years. And they're like, "Yeah, it looks like it. It's got holes in it. It doesn't even fit. And it's ugly besides. It was ugly when it was new. It's 30 years old now. What are you doing with this thing? The night is spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Are you wearing your armor today? Are you clothed in the light of God? What are you doing wearing the trash from yesterday? What are you doing wearing stuff that Heaven's Goodwill or Salvation Army wouldn't even accept in your walk? Cast it off and put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. If we're going to walk with God, folks, we got to have our walking clothes on.